This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Rockets on Friday slammed into the Iraqi oil ministry and two central Baghdad hotels used by Western contractors and journalists, wounding several people. Three rockets had hit the oil ministry, which was ablaze, police said. Guests evacuated the Sheraton and Palestine hotels located in the fortified compound near the Tigris River after the buildings were hit by rockets. Guests saw shards of glass and fragments of plaster and concrete scattered across the floors. Witnesses at the hotel said they had seen several people with at least light wounds. A security guard said two people had been taken to the hospital. A suicide car bomber killed at least four people near the offices of a leading Kurdish party in northern Iraq Thursday, hours after two others were killed in a car bombing west of Baghdad. The bombings near the Kirkuk offices of the Patriotic Union of Kurdistan, whose leader is currently head of Iraq's U.S.-appointed governing council, and a local council in Ramadi appeared to target the American-led occupation. A U.S. soldier was also killed near Ramadi when a bomb was detonated as a convoy drove past, a military spokesman said. The soldier was the 180th to be killed in action since combat was declared over on May 1st. George W. Bush left open the possibility of sending more American troops to Iraq, but said security on the ground would be the deciding factor. Two London-based Arabic language publications said Sunday they had received separate statements asserting Al-Qaeda's responsibility for the suicide bombings near two Istanbul synagogues that killed 23 people and injured 303. A group linked to Al-Qaeda said in an email to the Daily Al-Quds Al-Arabi newspaper that it conducted the bombings in Istanbul on Saturday and that Al-Qaeda planned attacks in other countries, including the United States. The email message said the two synagogues in Istanbul were targeted because Al-Qaeda believed Israeli Mossad agents were inside. The missive also cited Israel's occupation of the Palestinian territories as a motive for attacks against Jews worldwide.
More news after this.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 Save the Music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
Michigan police found a baby crocodile during a drug raid in Jackson County. The one-foot crocodile was found Thursday in an aquarium in the house, the Jackson Citizen Patriot reported. Police confiscated the reptile along with 7 grams of crack cocaine and a semi-automatic handgun. John Lennon's handwritten lyrics to the song Nowhere Man were sold for $455,000, more than 4 times the expected price, at an entertainment memorabilia sale at Christie's on Tuesday. The lyrics to the Beatles song were expected to fetch between $80,000 and $100,000 at the New York auction, according to Christie's spokeswoman, Margaret Ferrett.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
It's time for another chapter of The Lifestyles of the Rich and Cranky. Rich people have problems too. For example, what's the use of being rich if you can't be pampered? Yet there's little to no respect for wealthy people who wallow around in luxury. So imagine the agony of the rich as they wrestle with ways to be pampered without being ridiculed for it. Take corporate jets. Your top CEOs don't travel first class. They travel their class in private jets. No lines, no wanding of their private parts, no mingling with us peons. Their new favorite is Gulfstream's G450 jet, which will fly 8 passengers 5,000 miles nonstop and PDQ. Price tag, $33 million. But that's stripped bare. You get a flyable plane for $33 million, but no interior. No seats, wall coverings, washroom, carpet, storage bins, etc. It takes another $3 or $4 million to have your plane outfitted, with an emphasis on soft and plush. Deerskin sleep seats, mahogany cabinets, Persian carpets, muted lighting, flat-screen video displays with surround sound systems, walk-in showers, and, of course, 24-karat gold plating for the fixtures. As one jet maker puts it, the finishes and furnishings should look more like the interior of a multi-million dollar home than an airplane. Yes, but what are the small shareholders and the workers to think? They see these flying mansions as nothing but extravagant toys for over-pampered executive fat cats. CEOs get cranky when asked about this, but now they've devised a carefully crafted response. A jet encourages in-flight productivity, they claim, asserting that it's just another work tool, like a carpenter's lathe or a school teacher's book bag. This is Jim Hightower saying, if it takes Persian carpets and gold fixtures to be productive, why don't they provide these for all workers?
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. The phone number here is 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. Or you can email during the program, mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. Tomorrow, as you know, I'm sure you know, marks the 40th anniversary since the murder of John F. Kennedy. We've planned nothing for this evening's program to commemorate or otherwise acknowledge that anniversary, except to mention it like this. I watched MSNBC tonight. Chris Matthews' program. They had an hour retrospective, interviewed a few people, well, not interviewed, but a few people, made some statements, where I was, what I was doing, that sort of thing. And they had some old news footage of the of Walter Cronkite and a bunch of newscasters announcing the tragedy that occurred on November 22nd, 1963, in Dallas, Texas. And it was fascinating to watch, but what became very clear to me is I could not do a Kennedy program because 2 hours ago when I was sitting here watching it, first I started getting tears in my eyes, and then I started getting my sinuses jammed up, which is not a good idea after dental surgery or a sinus lift, and third, I started crying and just sitting here blubbering because it all came back exactly as it was 40 years ago. For those of us who were alive over a certain age, I don't know if 4 or 5 year olds remember, people who were 4 or 5 years old at on that day, that Friday, 40 years ago. But for those of us of a certain age, the day is cast inside our memories, almost in a way that nothing else is. Not the births of our children or our marriages or our divorces or even deaths of relatives. I've gone through all of that. And yet, I have to say, the only time in my life where I actually felt, in the moment and in retrospect, that time had stood still, had come to a halt, was that long 4 days from Friday the 22nd through Monday the 26th, or 25th, when the caisson carrying Jack Kennedy's body moved through the streets of Washington, D.C., and then to Arlington National Cemetery, and all the images that those of you under a certain age have seen, these iconic images that have an effect, I'm sure, but they would probably have an effect on you the same way images from World War II or the attack on Pearl Harbor has on me. For people who lived through that time, it was horrendous. For those of us who did not live through that time, it's black and white footage of a terrible day. And by the same token, those of us who lived through the assassination of John Kennedy understand in a visceral way that is impossible for people who only see it as a matter of history. The shooting on national television, probably the only time that I'm aware of I guess there have been a couple, but a murder on live television when Jack Ruby stepped out of the crowd underneath the police station in Dallas, Texas, and fired into Lee Harvey Oswald's abdomen. All of it. The images that MSNBC provided tonight were astonishing. And what was truly astonishing to me was how, after 40 years, the emotions connected with those images are just a millimeter deep inside of me. They're not images. They're not memories that need to be called up. They sit just below the surface. And hearing that drum, that muffled drum through the streets of Washington, D.C., with the funeral cortege moving, the riderless horse with the boots in the stirrups backwards, those sounds and sights are real powerful. They're just amazingly powerful. The silence in this country 40 years ago, granted it was a different time, we didn't have as many people or as much noise or as much traffic or as much of anything, really. But the silence that existed in this country 40 years ago was profound. It was deep. There was some commerce that carried on that day. There was, I'm talking about the day of the funeral. There was commerce. There were people going about their business, people that had to do the things that they had to do. But that long weekend culminating in the internment at Arlington National Cemetery is something for those of us who lived through it. It's there. It's there forever. And again, it was the only time in my life that time literally stood still in the moment and in retrospective. 1963 was the year, don't forget, that Martin Luther King delivered his I Have a Dream speech that spring. Pope John the 23rd, who was seen as a liberating pope, he died that year. First artificial heart implant was performed that year. The Supreme Court ruled that year that public schools could no longer require the recitation of the Lord's Prayer or Bible verses. And, of course, the Cold War was practically at its height. We had just gotten through the Cuban Missile Crisis. But what do we remember most from that year, those of us who went through it, is, of course, the assassination of John F. Kennedy. So, If you have a comment about it tonight, fine. This is as far as I'm going to go with it. With one last exception, and it's this. After a 10-month investigation of that assassination, the Warren Commission in 1964 concluded that Lee Harvey Oswald alone killed Kennedy, firing shots from the Texas School Book Depository's sixth floor. Doubts lingered, however, and in 1978... Congress impaneled a committee to again investigate the assassination. The panel largely relied on the recording of a police motorcyclist's microphone. The committee's conclusion, 4 shots were fired, with one coming from a grassy knoll downtown. In other words, the congressional panel concluded that Oswald did not act alone. 800-TALK-YES is the number. Again, tonight, if you have a comment or an observation or a feeling or a sense memory or anything about the Kennedy assassination, bring it on. Otherwise, we'll get about the business of this talk program, which is to spread hate and bigotry and prejudice. right? And to attack people that don't need attacking. Isn't that what we're about, Kathy? Yeah, of course we are. What? Carl Childers from Sling Blade is on the line? Are you serious? Carl Childers from the movie Sling Blade?
Hi, Mike Malloy.
Oh, no.
I'd like to talk to you a little. Can I talk to you some?
Sure, sure. Go ahead. Let her rip.
Maybe we could talk about this Kennedy, you know.
Yeah.
I learned to read some. It took me 4 years to read the Bible.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I know it did.
I reckon I understand a great deal of it, but wasn't what I expected in some places.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, that man Kennedy, he lived inside his heart.
He did.
That's an awful big place for him to live in, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He shouldn't be so sad today, though, Malloy.
Well, only when I watch the old video. You know, I can keep all that stuff deeply repressed and tucked away, and it doesn't bother me, you know.
You're just a radio man, though, you know. You need to think about good thoughts.
Oh. I need to think about good thoughts.
Yeah, I like listen to your show a lot, you know.
Yeah,
I like
yeah.
the way you talk.
Yeah.
You talk real good on the radio.
I like the way you talk, frankly.
Oh, I like the way you talk, thank you.
Yeah, excuse me?
I do like the way you talk,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wasn't remembering when Kennedy were here. I wasn't alive.
Yeah, that's true.
When I grew up, they said that I wasn't right in the head, so they put me in a nervous hospital.
They did indeed.
Instead of putting me in a jail.
Yeah.
You can ask me some questions, though. I don't know if I gave you enough information for your radio program.
Well, I don't know. You sound like a guy I met several years ago here in Atlanta named Billy Bob Thornton.
No, I don't believe I know that man.
No, I didn't think so. You're Carl Childers. What's a sling blade shaped like?
Some people call it a Kaiser blade, but I call it a thing blade. It's shaped like a banana, sort of.
Uh-huh. And the purpose of this thing, Carl?
Well, I reckon I used it to kill somebody with it.
Yeah.
You ain't supposed to, though. I grew up and I learned you ain't supposed to kill nobody.
Yeah, that's true. But you didn't assist Lee Harvey Oswald, right? You're not the fourth or the other shooter.
No, because when I heard about that, I just saw red. I didn't do nothing with him.
Yeah. What have you been doing lately? I saw your movie, but you know, what do you do now?
Well, I'm doing a lot of different things, but I think I'm going to try to get this man out of the office. I think we got to vote him out.
So you're going to you believe in voting him out?
We need another Kennedy.
Yeah, that's true. You're not going to be using your sling blade then, I tell you.
No, I don't know too much. I just know we don't need the guy like that in there pushing himself around on everybody.
Yeah. Do you have an opinion on the election of Arnold Schwarzenegger in California? You know, he's a governor there now, Carl.
I like the way he talks. I don't know anything about him. He don't seem to say much, but he talks like a pretty funny guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to tell a joke, though. I don't like to go on too long.
Go ahead.
I got to go back. You know, there's these two fellas. They were standing on the bridge going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And one fella said that the water was cold. And the other, he said the water was deep. I believe one of them's from Arkansas. Get it?
Yeah, I get it, Carl.
All right.
Hey, listen, good to hear from you, sir. Check in with us occasionally. I love the way you talk.
All right, sir. I like the way you talk. You keep up this good radio program. Bye-bye.
Bye. You betcha. I wouldn't dare not.
Stories hurt them all, but love's the only engine of survival. Servant here, he has been told to say it clear, to say it cool. It's over, it ain't going any further. And now the wheels of heaven stop. You feel the devil's riding crop. Get ready for the future. It is murder. You can't measure it.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday. For Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a block.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
The Mike Molloy Show.
NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? So look for another war. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, truth seekers, and maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it, because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country, or another war, or something about Bush.
Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy.
You know what I'm talking about.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Didn't they try to find some good for you?
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Molloy.
24 past the hour. I got an interesting email here from, who sent this to me? Bob in Chicago. Mike, I've been listening to your show in batches as they're made available online. After considering what you said thus far on the Limbaugh issue, I'd like to put forward the following thoughts. Rush's housekeeper runs afoul of the law. She's dealing prescription narcotics, one of the middle folk to the pharmacists and wife team who were the suppliers. She wants to cut a deal with the narcs, as is quite common in the business. So she tells them, hey, I've supplied buckets of Oxy to Rush Limbaugh, still do. Put your thinking cap on here, Mike. You're a municipal narcotics detective or a DEA agent. You just hauled in a woman who says she's supplying someone very prominent. The prominent citizen is Michael Moore, the lefty film director. Well, if that's the case, then the obvious course for the narcs, wire their new snitch, put her under video surveillance, and surely they'd nab her big shot customer with his cigar box full of presidents and more than enough criminal intent in no time flat. Does anyone think that the boom wouldn't come down on a progressive lefty personality if that personality was found to have an expensive illegal habit? If Michael Moore had been caught with lots of government-supplied video for Fox News to run ad nauseum for days on end, wouldn't both Ashcroft and Shrub bluster endlessly for the cameras, reminding Americans that illegal drug sales fund terrorism? So why didn't all that happen with Limbaugh? Why didn't Uncle or the local cops play the case along until they could haul in that housekeeper's number one best customer and make a technicolor example out of him? Remember John DeLorean and that trunk full of cocaine? I do. How much jail time did the famous car tycoon get? Well, if I remember, Bob, he didn't get any. Remember Roxanne Pulitzer, also known as the strumpet with the trumpet, stating in her tell-all book that a common Christmas gift in her husband's social circle was a 3-pound coffee can of Coke? It wouldn't hurt to spotlight the two-tier justice system we have here, Mike, especially as it impacts people snared in the drug war's drift nets. The rich, if caught at all, go to plush rehab spas and community service, and the po' go away to the Gray Bar Hotel for insanely long sentences. And by the way, next time you're fulminating about junkies with all the pain, anger, and sneering disdain obviously left over, try to remember that without the flow of drug money through this country's personal and commercial accounts, our big banks would collapse. And they'd take the rest of the financial ship down with them, too. Also consider that 1 in 8 cops in this country is said to be employed by the war on drugs. We've got to keep those coppers on the job, Mike. Whenever society has large numbers of unemployed cops and or soldiers, a military coup is usually the result. Where would home security alarm systems be without junkies? Imagine how many restaurants exist solely to provide the owner or owners with a beard for illicit drug profits. And don't even try to guess what hefty percentage of USA Big Pharma's sales are due to junkies gobbling up diverted meds. So I would caution you, Mike, not to jeer so hatefully at the junkies. Economically speaking, they're one of the 4 flat tires upon which our rusty old two-tone Coupe de Ville of a nation is limping down the highway of history at the moment. Cordially, Bob in Chicago. Some of you people are just too articulate. Of course, we've already discussed that Rush Limbaugh violated the Patriot Act. Patriot Act says, quote, people engaged in or reasonably suspected of, based on credible evidence, of engaging in terrorist acts or money laundering activities, blah, blah, blah.
Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
a 34-year-old oil spill still contaminates a Massachusetts marsh, and scientists are trying to find out why. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Dig a few inches into the marsh of West Falmouth, Massachusetts, and it's 1969. The diesel fuel that spilled into the marsh back then is still there, and it hasn't changed much over the course of the past three decades. Many of the old compounds in the marsh are still toxic to people and wildlife. Scientists are trying to find out why they won't go away and what this could mean for cleaning up other oil spills. Chris Reddy is an environmental chemist at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. He used a sensitive new technique to identify petroleum compounds in the marsh, and he found that there's almost no difference between the original diesel fuel and what's in the marsh today. He says he expected to find that these compounds had been broken down by microbes in the soil.
One of the big things right now in science is a term called natural attenuation, which basically means that Mother Nature can clean itself up. And there are some really good examples out there where it's happened. But in this case, at this one location, for some reason, the microbes that usually can eat some of these compounds have stalled.
Reddy says the microbes ate some of the compounds, but he says they have the capability to eat almost all of them. Reddy says it's important to figure out why the microbes stopped breaking down the oil residue at the Massachusetts marsh.
If we can understand what made them stall, and we can somehow add or help the bacteria, then we can help Mother Nature clean this spot up and potentially other locations.
Reddy is the lead author of an article on the West Falmouth spill that appeared last year in the journal Environmental Science and Technology. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Junior's home, his aeroplane touched down in the United States after his visit to see the Queen, and he left a trail of contempt and embarrassment behind him, as he usually does. When the Massachusetts Supreme Court ruled this week that there really was no constitutional, valid constitutional reason to protect, to prevent people of the same sex from marrying, Bush had something to say about it. He said, quote, "Marriage is a sacred institution between a man and a woman. Today's decision of the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court violates this important principle. I will work with congressional leaders and others to do what is legally necessary to defend the sanctity of marriage." Well, as Bart Kopp points out, W's heroes, Ronald Reagan, Newt Gingrich, and the vulgar pig man, Rush Limbaugh, have, among the three of them, eight wives. So much for the sanctity of marriage. Reagan, Newt, and Limbaugh. Eight of them. Dear God. So he's back. The other night, Bush was labeled a chicken for scrapping the speech he was going to give to a joint session of Parliament in London because he feared being heckled by the anti-war members of that body. He chickened out at the last minute. The only speech Bush gave was that to an invited-only audience in Whitehall. That was the one that he had the drop cloth behind him that said United Kingdom, United Kingdom, United Kingdom, United Kingdom, you know, as if the people he was addressing didn't realize where they all were. United Kingdom, United Kingdom, United Kingdom. A Labour member of Parliament said this is yet another slight on this country by the President of the USA. The least he could do is subject himself to questions from members of Parliament. Oh, you have to be kidding, sir. Another member of Parliament said Bush might be able to run from the protesters. He might be able to not to see the banners. But he must not be able to hide from the anger felt across this country at this unjustified war. Well, as again, as Barkop says, W has been hiding behind his daddy's skirts all his life. He's never been held responsible for anything he's ever done, including mass murder, death, destruction, or the perversion of Christianity that he is so adept at handling every single day. 100,000, 150,000, depends on who you want to listen to. Scotland Yard said 70,000 people marched against Bush. A police crowd control officer on the ground put the turnout at 120,000. Organizers said it was closer to a third of a million. So, you know, crowd estimates are always kind of weird. I think the part that I liked the best was when they toppled the effigy, the statue of George W. Bush. It was pulled down in Trafalgar Square as part of the protest, mimicking the pulling down of a Saddam Hussein statue in Baghdad by U.S. troops during the war in Iraq. Remember that? That is very creative. That's great political theater. And I just wonder, you know, how Bush... you know, when Bush and his old lady say that they don't know anything about any of this stuff, you know, you got to wonder. As a matter of fact, Pickles did have something to say. Jody in Arlington Heights sent this to me. Pickles, or as Jody calls her, Laura Marie Antoinette Bush, has spoken. First Lady said she and her husband were nonplussed by the tens of thousands of protesters who demonstrated against the war while Bush was here, most of whom the couple never saw. She just couldn't figure it out. Just couldn't figure it out. Mrs. Bush said, I don't think the protests are near as large as everyone was predicting before we got here. You know, and you can take your picks from 70,000 up to 300,000, any place on that scale. I don't think the protests are near as large as everyone was predicting before we got here, Mrs. Bush said. We've seen plenty of American flags. We've seen plenty of people who were waving to us. Many, many more people, in fact, than we've seen protesters. Well, no kidding. That's because you were kept in that little bubble George talks about. What? Pickles is going to say, well, we didn't see any, so there must not have been any. Ew. Oh, my God. Anyway, that statement compelled our correspondent in Arlington Heights, Jody, to dash off an email to Pickles. Dear Laura Marie Antoinette Bush, Laura, my dear, it is time for you to come out of the castle walls and for behind all the king's men to walk the streets. 110,000 people is an awfully large number, but you didn't see them because they were kept away from you and you from them. The force that surrounds you and your husband in the name of protection is really there to isolate you. You've seen the beauty of Buckingham Palace, but what is really beautiful, according to your husband, is freedom. To see that beauty, you need to go for a walk. Now, you're a teacher, so I'm going to assume you are also a reader. For inspiration for your walk, pick up a copy of The Prince and the Pauper by that wonderful American writer Mark Twain. Give yourself the freedom to see those people who don't agree with the war your husband started and the subsequent mess it has fomented. Talk to them, Laura, and listen to them. You may not like what they have to say, but listen anyway. When you get back home and you're out and about, seek out those people who show up to protest. They won't be easy for you to find if you stay in the path you're on. They will be at some distance from you behind police lines and probably fenced in. See the world and your country from the pauper side of the world. Do it soon, Laura, because I'm afraid you're in danger of losing your head. Signed, Jody in Arlington Heights. Oh, my God. What is that now, Kathy? The SS going to come storming in here? A threat on Pickles' life or something? There may not be enough time left for Laura to do that because General Tommy Franks, this is all over the news, right? He gave an interview to a cigar magazine, Cigar Aficionado, not to Time Magazine, not to New York Times, not to Washington Post, not to Newsweek, Cigar Aficionado. And in that interview, Tommy Franks says that the U.S. Constitution, under the right circumstances, will be scrapped. And this country will become a military dictatorship. Now, I realize he's not he's no longer general, but he's only been out, about 4 months? So here is former General Tommy Franks, the architect of our glorious victory in Afghanistan and Iraq, and saying that if the United States is hit with a weapon of mass destruction that inflicts large casualties, the Constitution will likely be discarded in favor of a military form of government. It's almost like General Tommy is giving us kind of a glimpse into what the Bush crime family sees as the ultimate future, don't you think? In Cigar Aficionado's December issue, the former commander of the Military Central Command warned that if terrorists succeeded in using a weapon of mass destruction against the U.S. or one of our allies, it would likely have catastrophic consequences for our form of government. Franks offered what he thinks would happen in the aftermath of such an attack, and he calls this is a practical evaluation. Here's what he said. Quote, it means the potential of a weapon of mass destruction and a terrorist, massive casualty-producing event somewhere in the Western world, it may be in the United States of America, it may not, something that causes our population to question our own constitution and to begin to militarize our country in order to avoid a repeat of another mass casualty-producing event, which, in fact, then begins to unravel the fabric of our constitution. Two steps there, very, very important. End quote. Now, as you know, critics, you're one, and so am I, of the U.S. So-called USA Patriot Act, which was jammed through Congress in the wake of those attacks on September 11th, critics are now arguing that the law aims to not just curtail civil liberties, but to end them. You know, Bush stands on British soil and talks, oh, I think freedom is really a beautiful thing. Boy, have I got something in store for the weasels back in America. But I think it's a wonderful thing. Don't you, Pickles?
Yes, George.
But Frank's scenario goes much further than the Patriot Act. Frank's is the first high-ranking official, okay, so he's not in the military anymore, to openly speculate that the United States Constitution will be scrapped in favor of a military form of government. Now, he's not the first one. The psychopathic traitor and disgrace to the Marine Corps, Oliver North, had a plan also during the 80s to place his country under martial law. And to lock people up, huge areas set aside, camps refurbished, and of course they're still there. Former POW camps, former abandoned army, not army, but military training camps around the country that Oliver North had refurbished on the quiet. So he's not Tommy Franks is not the first one. He's the highest ranking military officer recently to make this kind of a. Build this kind of a scenario. When I was a kid, going back to the Kennedy thing, I wasn't a kid, I was a young adult, but we had a psychopath that was head of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He was also an Air Force general, Curtis LeMay. Curtis LeMay was, by any definition, totally crazy. He had been a World War II hero in that he had killed an awful lot of people, led an awful lot of bombing runs, destroyed God knows how many hundreds of thousands of civilians, incinerating them, and a few military notches in his belt, too. But Curtis LeMay was one of the people involved in Operation Northwoods, which never got off the ground. That was to build popular support for an invasion of Cuba. And what they were going to do is attack American cities. They were going to fly airplanes into buildings. They were going to drop bombs. They were going to and then blame it all on Cuban nationals who had come to this country clandestinely and wreaked havoc and death and destruction on the American public. And then in response, we would invade Cuba. All of the Joint Chiefs of Staff signed off on Curtis LeMay's plan, and it went to Kennedy, and you can only guess what Kennedy may or may not have said. I would imagine Kennedy probably went a little bit out of his crawl space. It was probably made him jump up out of his rocking chair and say, "You must be crazy." So Curtis LeMay was a nutcase. Douglas MacArthur, probably the most overrated general in U.S. military history, also was a nutcase. He wanted to drop nuclear weapons on China. I believe the number was 200 or 300 nuclear bombs on China, which would have had the net effect of ending civilization on the planet. This is one of the reasons, with the possible exception of Dwight Eisenhower and maybe Wesley Clark, that military people should be kept the hell out of this rank, should be kept the hell out of any sort of decision-making process. And I think the framers of this country understood that. The military people are of a mindset, and this is what we pay them to do, to kill people and blow things up and smash things. That's why we pay them the big bucks. In return, when they are killed, we give them military honors, unless it's during the Bush administration, in which case we ignore them. And we bury them in special cemeteries called veterans cemeteries. But high-ranking generals, especially ones who feel that God talks to them or Jesus rides on the bombs with them, or there are demonic forces over Somalia, you know who I'm talking about. These kind of people need to be kept as far away from the decision-making process as possible, because they are really, really crazy, and they will take a whole lot of us down with them. So now Tommy Franks joins that gang, and he states categorically and very clearly and very plainly, yep, you know, the U.S. Constitution, hell. But I like the way he says it. I like the way he says it. That if there was some catastrophic attack on this country, that would cause our population to question our Constitution. Well, Tommy, you're a stinking liar. You're a stinking liar. At that point, our population would use the Constitution and our sacred documents to defend the country. It is people like you who would take the Constitution and blow cigar smoke through it. And you know it, and I know it, and George Bush knows it. The American public, for the most part, doesn't know it. And hopefully the American public will understand just how close we are in this country at any given time, when you have people like George Bush in power, how close we are to a total military takeover. Scary stuff, huh? Tommy Franks. Sucking on that cigar. Yes, sir. Him and Rush Limbaugh. Boy, they like those phallic symbols, don't they? Yeah. All right, where are we? Do we have to take a break here? Soon. Marge is calling from Maryville, Indiana. Hey, Marge.
Hi there.
Hi.
One of the things that I remember about that weekend 40 years ago is the music. After things kind of settled down a little bit, and the picture on the TV was trained on the casket lying in state,
mm-hmm.
with the four. I wonder who those guys were.
Four soldiers, one at each.
Yeah, one from each branch.
Yeah.
Standing as an honor guard.
Yeah.
Was the constant dirge until the funeral.
Yeah, I do.
You know, music is usually something that's very soothing and calming, but mm-hmm. boy, that for 4 days was something that I'll never forget.
Yeah, I forget who the classical composer was. Many of them wrote pieces that they entitled Requiem, but it was one of the Requiems that played. I remember that long, hellacious weekend. Let me put you on hold, Marge. I'll come back in a second. We're at 800-TALK-YES. Do join us. Yeah.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Tanya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Tanya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
Yeah.
positives. Here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
About five before the hour, we're talking with Marge and Maribel.
Tomorrow's hot talk.
We're talking with Marge and Maribel, Indiana. Sorry about that, Marge. All right.
You got the button pushed? Okay.
Yeah, listen up here now. Bruce in Amherst, Massachusetts just sent this in. Hi, Mike. The funeral dirge played in the rotunda for JFK was Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings. And if I am not mistaken, it was requested by Jackie because JFK liked it. There you go. Have I got the greatest audience in the world or what?
Fantastic.
I don't care what it is. If we have a question, within a minute, we have an answer.
All I know is that after 3 days of it, I was ready to climb the wall.
Well, I guess hearing it over and over again, it makes you want to open a vein. But it was. I think it was more than the music too.
It was the whole follow X.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to find words to describe it.
I was very young at the time. I was married to a woman then, a girl. I was just a boy, and she was a girl. We were very young, and she was Catholic. And the fact that JFK had been Catholic elevated him to sainthood with young Catholic girls. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Marianne, that was her name, or is her name, Marianne was just beyond the grief of an assassinated president. She also was very concerned about the Catholic aspect of it, because she had been very much afraid that Kennedy would not be elected because of his religion. Seems like a long time ago when we were concerned because someone was Catholic, right?
Amen. Anyhow, before the music comes back again, the reason I called, there was a small item in today's local paper from the AP that caught my attention.
Yeah.
The House voted Thursday to expand the U.S. government's power to demand financial records from businesses as part of terrorism investigations, despite concerns that the measure could undermine civil liberties. The provision was part of a mostly secret bill authorizing 2004 intelligence programs. It got final House approval at a 264-163 vote. The amount of the bill is classified, but it is believed to be about $40 billion.
And this is all Republicans that are doing this.
Well,
like the
Senate is expected to approve the bill soon. It will then go on to President Bush for his signature.
Well, sure.
Now, you know, ignorance is no excuse of the law, but how the hell are you supposed to know what's in a secret bill?
You're not. That's the point. Marge, you have the quaint idea that I still have occasionally, that that we still live in a society that believes in representative government, democracy, and so on and so forth.
Land of the free and home of the brave and that kind of crap.
We don't live there anymore. Marge, thanks for checking in.
Take care.
You have a nice evening.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Rockets on Friday slammed into the Iraqi oil ministry and two central Baghdad hotels used by Western contractors and journalists. wounding several people. Three rockets had hit the oil ministry, which was ablaze, police said. Guests evacuated the Sheraton and Palestine hotels, located in a fortified compound near the Tigris River, after the buildings were hit by rockets. Guests saw shards of glass and fragments of plaster and concrete scattered across the floors. Witnesses said the hotels said they had seen several people with at least light wounds. A security guard said two people had been taken to the hospital. Around 100,000 protesters marched through London and tore down a mock statue of visiting George W. Bush Thursday, many of them convinced his policies were to blame for anti-British bombs in Turkey. Demonstrators of all ages beat drums and blew whistles along a three-mile route that took them past Parliament and the end of Downing Street, where crowds paused to jeer at Prime Minister Tony Blair's office. When they reached Trafalgar Square, protesters felled a 20-foot papier-mâché statue of Bush in a parody of the toppling of the statue of Saddam Hussein when U.S. troops swept into Baghdad. In its top pocket was a puppet with a grinning Blair face. Two London-based Arabic-language publications said Sunday that they had received separate statements asserting al-Qaeda's responsibility for the suicide bombings near two Istanbul synagogues that killed 23 people and injured 303. A group linked to al-Qaeda said in an email to the daily Al-Quds Al-Arabi newspaper that it conducted the bombings in Istanbul on Saturday and that al-Qaeda planned attacks in other countries, including the United States. The email message said the two synagogues in Istanbul were targeted because al-Qaeda believed Israeli Mossad agents were inside. The missive also cited Israel's occupation of the Palestinian territories as motive for the attacks. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 save the music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
John Lennon's handwritten lyrics to the song Nowhere Man were sold for $455,000, more than four times the expected price, at an entertainment memorabilia sale at Christie's on Tuesday. The lyrics to the Beatles song were expected to fetch between $80,000 and $100,000 at the New York auction, according to Christie's spokeswoman Margaret Barrett. For IE American Network News, this is Don Waller in New York. Have a great weekend.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes. So, you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
It's time for another chapter of The Lifestyles of the Rich and Cranky. Rich people have problems too. For example, what's the use of being rich if you can't be pampered? Yet there's little to no respect for wealthy people who wallow around in luxury. So imagine the agony of the rich as they wrestle with ways to be pampered without being ridiculed for it. Take corporate jets. Your top CEOs don't travel first class. They travel their class in private jets. No lines, no wanding of their private parts, no mingling with us peons. Their new favorite is Gulfstream's G450 jet, which will fly 8 passengers 5,000 miles nonstop and PDQ. Price tag, $33 million. But that's stripped bare. You get a flyable plane for $33 million, but no interior. No seats, wall coverings, washroom, carpet, storage bins, etc. It takes another $3 or $4 million to have your plane outfitted, with an emphasis on soft and plush. Deerskin sleep seats, mahogany cabinets, Persian carpets, muted lighting, flat screen video displays with surround sound systems, walk-in showers, and, of course, 24-karat gold plating for the fixtures.
As one jet maker puts it, the finishes and furnishings should look more like the interior of a multi-million-dollar home than an airplane. Yes, but what are the small shareholders and the workers to think? They see these flying mansions as nothing but extravagant toys for over-pampered executive fat cats. CEOs get cranky when asked about this, but now they've devised a carefully crafted response. A jet encourages in-flight productivity, they claim, asserting that it's just another work tool, like a carpenter's lathe or a school teacher's book bag. This is Jim Hightower saying, if it takes Persian carpets and gold fixtures to be productive, why don't they provide these for all workers?
Yes, yes. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need is a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see. I know you're out there somewhere.
Seven and a half past the hour. Welcome back. 800-TALK-YES. I've got some sound bites here from Bush discussing Iraq policy at Whitehall in London the other day. some of these are awfully funny. I'll tell you what. Maybe we can do one here. We can drop these in a few at a time. Because too many of them together tends to give me projectile vomiting, and you know, I can't handle it. All right, now I want you to listen here. This is Bush talking about Iraq policy when he gave the little speech at Whitehall, the invited only, where the backdrop behind him said, "United Kingdom, United Kingdom, United Kingdom, United Kingdom, United Kingdom." You know, like jobs and security, jobs and security. I've screwed up both. Fake boxes made in the USA, fake boxes made in the USA, fake boxes. All right, listen to this string of lies. Remember, there was an offer made by Iraq to avoid war, and the Bush thug refused it. And then, of course, as he always does, he throws out the straw man argument about how much better off the world is without Saddam and Osama in power. Osama bin Laden's not in power? When was Osama bin Laden ever in power? Oh, never mind. That's not the point. The point is the lies that too stupid to be president told to take this country into the killing fields.
In Iraq, year after year, the dictator was given the chance to account for his weapons programs.
We did, didn't he?
And end the nightmare for his people.
No, that was caused by the sanctions.
Now the resolutions he defied have been enforced.
That's not true.
And who will say that Iraq was better off when Saddam Hussein was strutting and killing?
Nobody.
Or that the world was safer when he held power?
Nobody. Nobody.
Who doubts that Afghanistan is a more just society and less dangerous?
I do.
Without Mullah Omar playing host to terrorists from around the world.
Afghanistan is a more just society and less dangerous? This guy just really nauseates me. But who tells him? Who gets inside his head and says, George, Afghanistan is now a more just society and less dangerous? They're still killing our people there. We are still killing them. The warlords have retaken the country. Afghanistan is once again the largest exporter of heroin on the planet. The slaughter continues. But, George, it's a more just society and less dangerous. Without Mullah Omar playing host to terrorists from around the world, no, they have all gravitated now, thanks to Too Stupid to Be President, to Iraq, where they continue to kill Americans with alarming regularity. Tommy is calling from Pompano Beach, Florida. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
This is my first time calling, so I'm a little nervous, so bear with me.
You're a little nervous?
Well, I mean, I always call Randy Rhodes all the time.
And, yeah? Okay, can you hear me real good?
Listen. I can hear you real good.
Okay, listen real close. You're real nervous?
Not really now.
Okay, here we go. Boo! Just kidding.
You're a classic.
I know. Yeah, right.
Well, the problem is they talk about this like Michael Jackson thing. I think it's trying to escape from the reality of what the Bush administration is screwing up in Iraq and all around the world. And they don't want to show the protesting going on in Europe and everything like that. And I think that's sort of trying to save his butt. But like I said, I think the media right now is so is only telling half truths. Maybe you have a better perspective about it.
Yeah, I think they're telling lies. They're spinning whatever the Bush crime family puts out. The huge neo-fascist media in this country just echo chambers it around the country. It's awful. We used to have. I can remember. I'm so old. I remember. When way back in the 70s and even into the 60s, when we still had a fairly independent media in this country, at least parts of it were independent. But all of that's gone. There is no longer any independent media in this country, and those of us who try to be independent are usually silenced eventually.
It's like I'm going to email Paula Zahn, let's say, shame on you. You know, over 400 people are dying in Iraq for a lie, you know, and you then you show this garbage.
Well, Paula Zahn is as connected to pain and suffering as you and I are connected to Jupiter, which is to say not at all. Paula Zahn is paid millions of dollars to be pretty and kind of sexy. I think they got into
Fox News, We Distort, You Decide. I mean, that's where she came from, right?
Right. Well, Paula Zahn used to work for CBS, but she's been passed from hand to hand, you might say, kind of like Connie Chung. But these people are paid to be pretty. The men as well as look at this moron Bill Hemmer that's on CNN in the morning.
Oh God!
I mean, this is a guy who couldn't find his ass with both hands if he had a compass. But these people are paid the big bucks because you know we're Americans and we want buff, we want pretty. We want good hair. We want straight teeth.
Sensationalism.
We want symmetrical faces. We want the eyes to be a certain number of centimeters apart, and you know that sort of thing.
And like Fox News, they only had to cover themselves with makeup and facelifts and all that kind of garbage to make them look good. You know, like this is the news.
Yeah, look what they did to Greta Van Susteren.
Oh God.
Whatever happened to her? She's still at Fox.
I used to during the
OJ trial, which is where Greta surfaced.
Got her popularity.
Yeah.
It's like that doofus, what's his name? That guy with a crater face. You know what I'm talking about, John.
John Yellowhair, I used to call
him. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
Ignorant bastard. Sorry, Mike.
Well, you know, Greta Van Susteren, who I used to like to watch and listen to her during the OJ thing because there was no distraction. You weren't intrigued with Greta Van Susteren's gorgeous face or her carefully coiffed hairdo or her great clothing.
Yep.
I mean, Greta Van Susteren looked like she had just come from a knife fight in a bad part of town. And you got the feeling that she knew what the hell she was talking about. She was a lawyer. She was good. She had that kind of half sneer, facial tick, I guess it was. Well, what happened? Fox hires her, and they put her under the knife. And what comes out is, I don't know. This is not my Greta. It was horrifying.
Oh.
I had to stop looking at her because, you know, the frozen forehead and the puffed out cheeks and the sneer's gone and her eyelids had been clipped and, you know, she had her hair combed.
And you speak about Fox News. You read Al Franken's book?
Yes, I did.
Isn't it the greatest book you ever read? It's depressing somewhat because you find out what the, oh my God, it's true, you know?
Yeah.
They talk about Fox News and I mean, you know where I'm coming from.
I do indeed. Tommy, we're about out of time this segment. Listen, thanks for checking in. First time calling, huh?
Yeah, take care of yourself, and my mom loves you to death. She loves you.
Well, I hope you call in again.
Bye-bye.
And
take care.
And next time you're on the Randy Rhodes Show, tell
her. I always talk to Randy and listen to Neil Rogers, too.
Tell Randy I said hi.
I will definitely do that, Mike. Take care of yourself.
You too. Thank you, Tommy. I would have said say hi. Neil Rogers and I used to work for the same network, Cox Network, when I worked at WSB, and he worked at, was it WIOD? What was it down there in Miami, Kathy? I think it was IOD. But he owns South Florida, where it concerns radio, Neil Rogers. Openly gay talk show host. You know, he's been out for 20 years. Another cigar smoker. Is he? Chris is calling from Cincinnati. Hey, Chris, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing.
Good. Listen, I called you last week. I mean, this is two times in, what, 4 years? So,
Uh-oh.
But I had to call. I got good news. My oncologist told me yesterday, cancer-free, you know.
Well, good for you. That is great. That is beyond good news. That's great
news. Everybody out there, really, you know, you can beat this, you know, and that's the thing.
Well, good for you, Chris.
But anyway, reason I called, I've been listening to you the last couple weeks, anyway, and you've been talking about Rush and Bush, and you give them such personality. And I've never listened to these guys and thought of them as a person. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you
mean. I mean, when you read about Rush, he's a lonely man. He's had, three or four wives.
Yeah, it's sad.
I almost feel sorry for the guy because he doesn't seem to have any friends or anything. You know what I mean? He's got about as much personality as my little toe, you know.
He's got his oxy-C's, and, you know, that's all that counts, man.
Yeah, but and then you say, well, their opinion, like they have an opinion. Yeah. I mean, Rush doesn't have an opinion. I mean, or Bush doesn't have an opinion. They read the script.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you know, the people, I don't know. I mean, this guy is like, you know, I tried to listen to him the other day when he came back on the air.
Because
I'm a talk show nut anyway.
Right.
And
well, he's fun to listen to now. I've listened to him for maybe a total of 20 minutes since he's been back. And the way he gibbers and jabbers and stumbles around like a drop of water on a hot pancake griddle, man, it is just cool. It is hysterical.
I know, but, you know,
he gets his tongue in front of his eye teeth and can't see what he's saying, and you can just see him reaching for more pills, going, oh, Jesus, I got to get off this Ritalin.
Well, you know, the thing is, though, here he is, you know, and he's talking to, I don't know. I just don't buy it.
I hear your frustration.
I mean,
I understand.
No one, you never see the man in a debate with anyone.
No.
And he never will.
No.
And that's the thing. See, I mean, he's being told what to say, and he goes out there and he delivers the message. And he spends 20% of his program in self-adulation.
Right.
You ever notice that?
Right.
I mean, you know, I mean, but listen, I tried to listen to him the other day, and I mean, 10 minutes into his apologizing or whatever he was doing, he starts on Teddy Kennedy.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen,
give it up, pal. Your ass is going to prison for 9 different things, and you're going to sit. Yeah, tell that to your cellmate when you get into prison about how bad Teddy Kennedy is.
I can't turn it off. I can't listen to that. You
know?
Here's a guy that gave two brothers to this country.
Hey, hold on a second, Chris. Hold on. I'll come back to you. We got to take a break. And if you're on hold, stick around. Phone calls are just gonna, we're just gonna go right through the phone calls tonight. You don't have to listen to me say anything.
Got a monkey on your back. Just one more fix, Lord, might do the trick. One hell of a price for you to get your kid. Ooh, that smell. Can't you smell that?
Thank you.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show,
where we serve you food with attitude plus a heap and helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, two, four, and you.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Nah, I'm tired of this crappy job.
What? I thought you loved this job. You have a company car. You even have a expense account. Eh, what's the problem?
But I have to listen to all this junk radio, and I miss all my favorite political talk shows like Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins. So I have to beat a stupid job.
Why don't you listen to them on your computer like me?
Because for some stupid reason, I have to pay attention to what's going on at work or something like that. I don't remember. I wasn't listening. All I know is that I'm pretty cranky when I miss my shows.
You think?
I should just go over there and tell him that I'm not coming to work until I listen to my shows, and if he's got a problem with it, then we can go outside, punk.
Hold on there. Just listen to the best in political talk on Sundays.
The what?
The best in political talk on Sundays from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time. You can hear the best of Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins.
Really? Well, that's better than picking a fight with the boss.
Yeah, you'll keep your job and your health.
What? You don't think I can take him?
He's big, dude.
I would waste him.
Yeah, right.
That's the best of political talk Sunday nights from 10 to midnight Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show,
where we serve you food with attitude plus a heap and helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, two, four, and you.
Peace and security in our world is the willingness of free nations to retain aggression and evil by force.
to retain aggression and evil by force. See, that's what Mark Crispin Miller talks about in the Bush Dyslexicon. When this guy says things like that, he means it. He means it. Those are not the words of somebody who doesn't understand what he's saying. It's only when Bush tries to talk from a compassionate or a rational or a sensible or a peaceful or a balanced or an ethical or a moral point of view that he stumbles. When he's talking about death, destruction, war, and evil, oh, he's right there. Back to Chris in Cincinnati. Thanks for holding on, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll wrap this up, Mark. You know, like I say, though, Bush, I just can't believe he's talking. Yeah, I mean, somebody writes everything for him. You know, he's not.
Oh, yeah, he can't.
It's really hard to.
No, he can't put together a sentence.
Sit there and think that, you know, here's some. This guy's really saying. I wonder what he really thinks, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, but anyway, you know, like I say, with the, you know, with the cancer, you start thinking about, you know, going to the other side and stuff. And I'll tell you, I wanted to sit down with St. Peter and find out about 9/11. You know, I mean, that's the one thing.
That's about the only place you're going to find out. Yeah.
Right, you got to find out what really happened, you know. Yeah. I mean, last week I heard something where they're talking now that in Houston, in these energy meetings, it was a representative from the Taliban, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. This we talked about that on this program.
Oh, really?
A couple of years ago, shortly after the 9/11. That was from a book. What was the name of the book, Kathy? The one written by the French, Bin Laden, The Forbidden Truth. And in that book, it details how several members of the Taliban were brought to Houston, Texas, to talk with parties unnamed, but you can guess who they are, about the oil pipeline. And they were told, if you work with us, we will carpet your country with gold. If you don't, we will carpet bomb you.
We may find out in our lifetimes, you know. Who knows?
Yeah.
But, I mean, stranger things have happened, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this guy, what can I say? You know, maybe someday, you know, in our lifetimes, like I say, if we ever get any kind of justice, we'll find out. But
don't count on it. Chris, thanks for checking in.
Okay, Mike.
And I'm glad you got the good news.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Take care. Take care. David just sent this to me. It's a Times poll. I don't know if it's the New York Times or the L.A. Times or whatever, but David writes, this is a shame that nearly 60% of the people in this poll consider Bush to be honest. Yeah, this is what I'm talking about. I do not get this. Every time results of a poll about Bush's honesty or his ability to discern the difference between reality and non-reality, I just don't get it. It says the Times poll, supervised by polling director Susan Pincus, surveyed 1,345 adults from November 15th through the 18th. Included in the survey were 1,144 registered voters, plus or minus 3 percentage points is a margin of error. It says just over three-fifths, that would be 60% of Americans, consider Bush to be a strong leader. Just under three-fifths, again 60%, say they consider him honest and trustworthy. How does that happen? You don't have to be a rocket scientist or an oral surgeon to listen to Bush longer than 5 minutes to realize that everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie. Every promise is a duplicitous, lying statement. His members of his cabinet lied. They don't even bother to try to spin the truth anymore. We've talked about this over and over again. They are provable lies. He lies to take us to war. He lies to get Americans killed. He lies to get Iraqi soldiers and Iraqi civilians killed by the thousands. He is a murderous liar. How is it that just under 60% of Americans think this pig is trustworthy and honest? I it's astonishing.
Here we go now. Keep it lowbrow. Get stupid. Because I know how. Check my brain in. Being wear the dust cap, slouch over and drool like a hunchback. Don't discuss things, shout the last word. Put your good sense out the pasture. Drop your IQ, that's what I do. My advice to girls and guys who wanna be a Nobel Prize finalist. Rocket scientists, try applying this. Keep the customers coming around. If you're smart, then you better start dumbing it down. Don't say anything too profound. Dumb it down.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
a 34-year-old oil spill still contaminates a Massachusetts marsh, and scientists are trying to find out why. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Dig a few inches into the marsh of West Falmouth, Massachusetts, and it's 1969. The diesel fuel that spilled into the marsh back then is still there, and it hasn't changed much over the course of the past three decades. Many of the old compounds in the marsh are still toxic to people and wildlife. Scientists are trying to find out why they won't go away and what this could mean for cleaning up other oil spills. Chris Reddy is an environmental chemist at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. He used a sensitive new technique to identify petroleum compounds in the marsh, and he found that there's almost no difference between the original diesel fuel and what's in the marsh today. He says he expected to find that these compounds had been broken down by microbes in the soil.
One of the big things right now in science is a term called natural attenuation, which basically means that Mother Nature can clean itself up. And there are some really good examples out there where it's happened. But in this case, at this one location, for some reason, the microbes that usually can eat some of these compounds have stalled.
Reddy says the microbes ate some of the compounds, but he says they have the capability to eat almost all of them. Reddy says it's important to figure out why the microbes stopped breaking down the oil residue at the Massachusetts marsh.
If we can understand what made them stall, and we can somehow add or help the bacteria, then we can help Mother Nature clean the spot up and potentially other locations.
Reddy is the lead author of an article on the West Falmouth spill that appeared last year in the journal Environmental Science and Technology. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Secretary of State Powell's presentation to the United Nations Security Council. The world knows that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction.
Oh, he's such an honest man. He's so trustworthy. Yeah. Thug. Punk. Terrible, terrible example. What are our children going to do? We have a guy in here who lies about everything, who's a coward. He's demonstrated his cowardice. He's inarticulate. He can't put together a sentence. He's a liar. Did I mention he's a liar? What are our children going to do? What are our children going to think? Shelby over at radiopower.org sent this to me. Remember there was an effort to destroy time and a half for overtime? Kind of the backbone of the working class in this country. This was something that was decided back in when, the 30s, 40s? Probably back during the FDR years, that a worker who worked over a 40-hour work week would be paid time and a half for his labor, his sweat, his back, his hands, his knee joints, his neck, his shoulders, or her hands, neck, shoulders. The Bush crime family and the Republican thugs who now control this country tried to introduce legislation to change all that. So that 8 million Americans would lose their eligibility for overtime pay. Now, administration officials say that 644,000 such employees would lose the time and a half pay. But the fact is, and the labor organizations say, no, it's more like 8 million. Who are you going to believe on a labor issue, right? Oh, the Bush. The Bush, yeah. So a lot of people fought against this provision. And some of the people fighting against it were Republicans because they come from Reagan Democrat, let's call them that, working class places like Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania, Republican senator from Pennsylvania, right? Working class. All those people, those Democrats who 20 years ago decided to vote for Reagan, the chickens are coming home to roost on you people. And all I can say is I want to say ha, 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 but I won't. I'm just saying, how much longer are you going to put up with this? Arlen Specter fought against this rule change, which defined which workers would qualify for overtime pay. But he's decided to drop a provision that would have killed the regulation ending overtime pay from a massive spending bill. Everybody else, all the other Republicans, the Democrats couldn't care less. So everybody, well, I shouldn't say not all Democrats couldn't care less. Some of them couldn't, like Zell Miller. What the hell does he know? But what's going to happen, the spending bill is going to pass. The provision will be in there. And people who have historically in this country put in the extra 10 hours a week in order to pay off a medical bill or get a kid in college or take care of an aging mom or dad or buy a new lawnmower or just because they wanted some beer money, they're going to have it taken away from them now. Well, it says here, the end of the overtime pay battle spelled a legislative and political victory for Bush, whose aides had repeatedly threatened a veto for any legislation attempting to kill the proposed regulations. The regulations, this language with the double negatives, it gets kind of confusing. The regulations said no more overtime. And the Bush crime family's foot soldier said to the Congress, if you try to kill that provision, we're going to veto the bill. Trust us. So once again, do you have any doubts left? Are you among those 60% of Americans who think Bush is honest and a good leader, a strong leader? He's a coward and a punk and a shill. He's a chicken hawk. He's a dirty, sneaky little man. I don't understand. I swear to God, I don't understand. Now, this battle pitted big business and its Republican allies against organized labor and congressional Democrats. Guess who won? It's unclear, by the way, what Specter received in return for his willingness to toss his constituents into the toilet. Bill Samuel, the AFL-CIO's legislative director, said Congress really believed the administration will provoke a funding crisis in order to retain its ability to cut overtime. So Congress is going to back out and say, okay, you can have it, George. No more overtime for these dumbass working-class Americans. They're stupid anyway. They'll just vote for you again because, you know, you're protecting them from terrorism. Randy Johnson, U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Vice President for Labor Policy, this is a guy who would like to see all workers making what Mexican workers make, said the business community lobbied hard on this issue. But in the end, it was a simple argument that this rulemaking should go forward because the regulations haven't been updated in 40 years. See, isn't that what they always say? We're just trying to update the rules. Yeah, we have to go back 40 years and update the rules. The rules that said you get time and a half, we're going to update them, and you no longer get time and a half. You don't like it? Kiss my ass. This is Bush's America. I'm a Republican. I'm with the Chamber of Commerce. You're a worker. You're stupid. You're dumb. I don't care if your kids die. I don't care if your wife has breast cancer and you can't afford medication. Tough. I don't care. I don't care if your kids can't go to college. I don't care. I don't care. We will have our way. Incredible. Senator Tom Harkin of Iowa, the lead Democratic sponsor of the provision that would block the change in these overtime rules, and an ally of Senator Arlen Specter, blamed Specter's decision to abandon the fight on Bush administration pressure. Harkin said in a written statement, just in time for the holidays, the White House has delivered another gift for big business along with a pay cut for millions of working families. Yeah, but so what? Americans love it. We love it. We love war. We love death. We love destruction. We love to see our economy being ripped to pieces. We love to see most of us being pushed to the margins where it concerns income. We love not having health insurance or having it so expensive that sometimes it's a toss-up between the mortgage payment and buying the drugs. We love this. We love this. We like to know that Americans are being butchered in Iraq and Afghanistan. We like to know that the Americans who aren't being butchered are butchering other people. We love this. We love the bombs. We love the death and the destruction. We love chaos. We're Americans. We had 8 years of that pissant Bill Clinton and his girlfriend, didn't we? Huh? Aren't you glad that's gone? Oh, my God. Peace and prosperity and sex in the Oval Office. Oh, Jesus, I'm glad that's gone. Aren't you? Jobs, income, budget surpluses, paying down the national debt. Aren't you glad that's gone? How did we survive 8 years of Bill Clinton and his whore? How did we do that, huh? American values just went right down the tank, it seems. It seems that all of the Republicans were the only ones affected by Clinton and his girlfriend because their values still sure went to hell, didn't they, huh? Unbelievable. So here we are. Patriot Act expansion moving through Congress. Oh, and by the way, election officials on the Federal Election Commission by unanimous vote have dismissed a complaint brought by the little piglet Larry Klayman, Judicial Watch or whatever the hell it's called. Is that what it is, Judicial Watch? The election officials have dismissed a complaint accusing Denise Rich. Remember her? Remember Denise Rich? Oh, isn't that so last century? Democratic fundraiser Denise Rich. Election officials have dismissed a complaint accusing her of donating campaign money and furniture to Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton in exchange for President Clinton's pardon of Rich's ex-husband. Remember how the pigs on radio, the right-wing pigs, the liars, these filthy-mouthed dogs, remember how they talked about that, the last-minute pardons? Oh, well, you're Rich! Well, the Federal Election Commission, which, by the way, is, if I'm not mistaken, has more Republicans on it than Democrats, they made the decision last month and just disclosed it day before yesterday. Now, if you remember, and I didn't, so much was, you know, here's another accusation and charge that the right-wing radio talk show hosts in this country, which is all of them, turned into proof positive that Clinton was, a thug and a thief and a liar, and his wife Hillary is nothing but a money-grubbing whore. The government watchdog group, I love that, Judicial Watch, accused Denise Rich of making excessive donations to Hillary Rodham Clinton's 2000 campaign, totaling at least $70,000, and of giving her furniture worth $7,000 in return for the president's pardon of Mark Rich. Oh. The commissioners, voting 6-0, said they found nothing to indicate any campaign finance law was broken or any of the charges against Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton had any value, weight, or substance whatsoever. Now, did the pig man tell you that today in his drug-addled haze? Did baby Jesus, Sean Hannity, tell you that in his haze? All the lies and false charges that have done their damage for years and years and years. Oh, well, he got $200 haircuts on the runway. Well, they murdered 30 people in Arkansas. Well, and these filthy pig fake Christians like Jerry Falwell and his Clinton Chronicles videotape. These people deserve to have Satan pinch off their heads and throw the heads into hell where the demons will use them as soccer balls. But here's another one. Travelgate. Whitewater. What else was there, Kathy? There were so many. Ah, and why did we impeach him? That's right. But George W. Bush, the liar who takes us into war, 3/5 of the American people say he's a strong leader and honest. Don't look at me. I have no idea. I do not understand this stuff. I have always been proud to be an American because I knew that my fellow countrymen, deep down inside, although we might have political differences, understood the difference between truth and lies, between right and wrong, between morality and immorality, especially after going through what we went through in the 60s and the 70s. And we understood. And now I'm just to the point where, like Shelby, when Shelby writes to me, she usually starts out by saying, I hate my country. I can understand that. Roger is calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Roger, welcome to the program.
Very delighted to participate, Mike. So glad you're back from your fun with your oral surgeon, too. It was a bitter and difficult week of your absence, let me tell you.
Is this your name's Roger? You sound remarkably like Jesse Ventura. You know that. People have told you that.
I've never been told that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because I don't sound like an adult, do I?
No. You sound very much like, your voice sounds very much like Jesse Ventura. But never mind. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to distract you.
Well, I am a professional radio person, so maybe there's a little voice training there.
Well, I'll tell you what. You could, if you focused for a day, you could become, as long as people couldn't see you, you could become Jesse Ventura.
I don't think I could be quite as brilliant and flexible and impressionist as you are. Your Nixon is excellent.
Well, thanks. Now, that's, you didn't call in so we could sit here and each other.
This is my first time calling.
Is it? Well, welcome
aboard.
I've been
listening for about 7 months, and I've been looking forward to weighing in someday, and I've been trying to figure out what kind of bureau chief I could become. Because I think Minneapolis is taken.
Yeah, Tamara, who is a writer whom we very seldom hear from anymore, but that's not cause to remove her as bureau chief. We love Tamara.
Yeah.
She's our Minneapolis bureau chief. We have our Chris in Minnesota, who is our senior correspondent for the program. But I don't know. Do you live in a suburb of Minneapolis?
I do. I live in the affluent western suburbs of Minneapolis.
Would you like to be the affluent western suburbs of Minneapolis bureau chief?
Well, especially since I find myself an observer of the very bizarre idea that white America can be preserved and the other colored people be kept out.
Yeah.
Yes, I think, you know, having my thumb on the pulse of what people who think they are normal are could be part of my function.
Okay, well, what bureau shall we turn over to you then?
How about Little White Picket Fence, America in the western suburbs of Minneapolis?
Too long. Way too long, Roger.
How about if I work on this some more?
How about if you work on it?
Okay.
Let us know on your next phone call.
Now, Mike,
yes.
Here is a point that I think needs to be seriously cogitated on and taken to heart.
Okay.
On December 12th, 2000, when the Bush regime established that it was going to take over,
yes,
I knew that it meant war,
mm-hmm.
that the same characters that had been in play for many years were back at it,
mm-hmm.
and I think that if Bush thinks he's in trouble,
yeah,
it's perfectly obvious that they'll hold a war or something like that to divert attention, get people dancing around the flag. But these people,
Roger, hold it right there. On these people have no intention of giving up power. Hold it there. We'll pick it up when we come back. Yeah, as soon as Bush feels he's in political power, somebody is going to have the hurt put on him. A country will be invaded. 3,000 people in this country will be murdered. Something, a shock and awe will occur. More people will be executed. George Bush doesn't like to feel pressure.
Irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant maximum strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try maximum strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you are ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to That Comic Book Show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to That Comic Book Show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ned Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Steve from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush Cheney 04. Last week, I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history by making a contribution today? Oh, President Bush, he just can't raise money. If they only had a brain.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
free and secure Iraq in the midst of the Middle East will have enormous historical impact.
You moron. You absolute class A moron. But have you got that queued up, can you play that one more time?
Free and secure Iraq in the midst of the Middle East will have enormous historical impact.
Yeah, I bet it will. Oh, my God. Back to Roger in Minneapolis.
Peance, indeed.
I did no idea.
Well, unfortunately, the guy's not that funny.
I know.
And I sincerely believe that... I think it's not unlikely that the Bush people at least sat back and let the attack on the Twin Towers happen. But that's just the kind of thing that they'll use again, right down to declaring martial law in this country if they need to.
Hang on
to power.
That's what Tommy Frank says. If you read between the lines, martial law, detention camps, Oliver North, Tommy Frank, whatever it takes. Yeah, you're right. I'm nervous about what's going to happen a year from now.
Yesterday, I had the pleasure of hearing a lecture from Klaus Mielisch. He's a famous scholar and writer in Germany. Actually, he's at Dartmouth right now. And he made the point that he felt that using the word fascism to describe what we live under in this country is not a very good term for two reasons. One, he felt that it trivializes the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with him about that because I think that the danger that we face is far larger than Hitler was, frankly. Here we've got a guy re-stimulating a nuclear arms race worldwide, et cetera, and planning to use nuclear weapons when he pleases.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But on top of that, Mielisch also points out that to call it fascism makes a lot of people think that they can sit back and wait until it gets as bad looking
mm-hmm.
as Nazi Germany was in their estimation,
mm-hmm.
and that is a mistake.
Well, I hold to the statement that Mussolini made probably in the 30s. I don't remember when. He said, don't call it fascism. Call it what it is.
Corporatism.
Corporatism, right.
Right. That's exactly the point I made as a member of the audience yesterday,
mm-hmm.
was that, well, okay, if we don't want to use the word fascism,
then
have you got a better word?
And
how about corporatism?
That's it. Roger, we're out of time. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate your call. I hope you're going to call again. And think about what kind of a bureau chief you want to be, all right?
I'll be back.
All right, sir. It sounds like Jesse Ventura. Quick break, and we'll be back. And I've got a first-person account here from Dave in Tampa of what happened 40 years ago. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice.
I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Rockets on Friday slammed into the Iraqi oil ministry and two central Baghdad hotels used by Western contractors and journalists, wounding several people. Three rockets had hit the oil ministry, which was ablaze, police said. Guests evacuated the Sheraton and Palestine hotels, located in the fortified compound near the Tigris River, after the buildings were hit by rockets. Guests saw shards of glass and fragments of plaster and concrete scattered across the floors. Witnesses at the hotel said they had seen several people with at least light wounds. A security guard said two people had been taken to the hospital. A suicide car bomber killed at least four people near the offices of a leading Kurdish party in northern Iraq Thursday, hours after two others were killed in a car bombing west of Baghdad. The bombings near the Kirkuk offices of the Patriotic Union of Kurdistan, whose leader is currently head of Iraq's U.S.-appointed governing council, and a local council in Ramadi appeared to target the American-led occupation. A U.S. soldier was also killed near Ramadi when a bomb was detonated as a convoy drove past, a military spokesman said. The soldier was the 180th to be killed in action since combat was declared over on May 1st. George W. Bush left open the possibility of sending more American troops to Iraq, but said security on the ground would be the deciding factor. Two London-based Arabic language publications said Sunday they had received separate statements asserting Al-Qaeda's responsibility for the suicide bombings near two Istanbul synagogues that killed 23 people and injured 303. A group linked to Al-Qaeda said in an email to the Daily Al-Quds Al-Araba bombings in Istanbul on Saturday and that Al-Qaeda planned attacks in other countries, including the United States. The email message said the two synagogues in Istanbul were targeted because Al-Qaeda believed Israeli Mossad agents were inside. The missive also cited Israel's occupation of the Palestinian territories as a motive for attacks against Jews worldwide.
More news after this.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 Save the Music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
Michigan police found a baby crocodile during a drug raid in Jackson County. The one-foot crocodile was found Thursday in an aquarium in the house, the Jackson Citizen Patriot reported. Police confiscated the reptile along with 7 grams of crack cocaine and a semi-automatic handgun. John Lennon's handwritten lyrics to the song Nowhere Man were sold for $455,000, more than 4 times the expected price, at an entertainment memorabilia sale at Christie's on Tuesday. The lyrics to the Beatles song were expected to fetch between $80,000 and $100,000 at the New York auction, according to Christie's spokeswoman, Margaret Ferrett.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
It's time for another chapter of The Lifestyles of the Rich and Cranky. Rich people have problems too. For example, what's the use of being rich if you can't be pampered? Yet there's little to no respect for wealthy people who wallow around in luxury. So imagine the agony of the rich as they wrestle with ways to be pampered without being ridiculed for it. Take corporate jets. Your top CEOs don't travel first class. They travel their class in private jets. No lines, no wanding of their private parts, no mingling with us peons. Their new favorite is Gulfstream's G450 jet, which will fly 8 passengers 5,000 miles nonstop and PDQ. Price tag, $33 million. But that's stripped bare. You get a flyable plane for $33 million, but no interior. No seats, wall coverings, washroom, carpet, storage bins, etc. It takes another $3 or $4 million to have your plane outfitted, with an emphasis on soft and plush. deerskin sleep seats, mahogany cabinets, Persian carpets, muted lighting, flat-screen video displays with surround sound systems, walk-in showers, and, of course, 24-karat gold plating for the fixtures. As one jet maker puts it, the finishes and furnishings should look more like the interior of a multi-million-dollar home than an airplane. Yes, but what are the small shareholders and the workers to think? They see these flying mansions as nothing but extravagant toys for over-pampered executive fat cats. CEOs get cranky when asked about this, but now they've devised a carefully crafted response. A jet encourages in-flight productivity, they claim, asserting that it's just another work tool, like a carpenter's lathe or a schoolteacher's book bag. This is Jim Hightower saying, if it takes Persian carpets and gold fixtures to be productive, why don't they provide these for all workers?
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Truth, Justice, and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else? Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Well, we just have all sorts of little gremlins in here tonight, don't we? Truth is, Kathy has one hell of a bad cold, which means I'll probably have it come Monday or Tuesday. Dave in Tampa sent me a first-person account here of that terrible day in Dallas. I'm going to get to that in just a second, but talk about faraway bureau chiefs. Tom from Anchorage, Alaska, our bureau chief up there, is calling where right now, even though it's here in the east, it's 7 minutes past 11 in Anchorage. It's yesterday afternoon, right?
No. Hi, Mike.
How you doing, Tom?
It's 7:08 here.
Just kidding.
Mike, two nights ago we were comparing what the Alaska Supreme Court did.
Mm-hmm.
With what the Massachusetts Supreme Court did regarding gay marriage?
Yes.
Okay. And you asked me to call back. The Alaska Supreme Court did the same thing that the Massachusetts Supreme Court did. Look, Mike, what is the job of any Supreme Court, be it the 50 state ones or the one federal one?
Interpret the Constitution.
That's right. It's to look at the Constitution, both the state and the federal Constitution,
right,
and compare it to what the other two branches are doing.
Yeah.
And you know that each state, along with the federal government, has three branches.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. All the Alaska Supreme Court did, just like the Massachusetts Supreme Court, is look at what the legislature here did.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did is declare gay marriage illegal. And the Supreme Court here said, okay, where, legislators, dear legislators, does it say in either the state or federal constitution that gay union is a detriment to the state?
Mm-hmm.
Present to us evidence that it is in the state's compelling best interest,
right,
to deny these people the right to form a legal union. It's so simple, Mike.
Well, how's come, maybe just because I wasn't paying attention, but why didn't I hear about the Alaska decision, A? B, did it not get as much publicity as the Massachusetts decision?
Because it's Alaska.
Oh. Okay. I knew that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a very small population here, and mm-hmm. nobody pays attention to the state, mm-hmm. except when it comes to oil.
That's true.
And to exploiting our beautiful national reserves here.
Do you mind my asking, what do you do in Anchorage, Alaska? I've never been there. I've seen pictures of Anchorage, and it seems to be a rather small town. What is it, 50,000, 60,000 people?
No.
It's bigger than that?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's about 250,000.
Oh, really? That big? I had no idea.
What do I do?
Well, if you don't mind my asking, you don't have to answer. But
I work for the state's handicapped children's program.
State of Alaska.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Anchorage is the only real city you have there, right?
Real city.
I'm sorry.
Well, there's Juneau, the capital.
Yeah.
which is about 30,000. Fairbanks, which is about 50,000.
Those must be the ones I was thinking about with that small population. So living in Anchorage, then you're living in the heart of where it's at in Alaska, right?
Right. It's a big. Yeah. Well, for Alaskans, it's a really big city. In fact, other Alaskans call Anchorage Los Anchorage.
Los Anchorage.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Easy to impress people in Alaska. I take it, right?
Right. Well, yeah. They think we're nuts here.
Yeah.
But no. Well, and then there's, you know, the Native American communities, which are 50 people, 200 people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They don't like to be called Eskimos, by the way.
Right. Well, I knew that. Inuit. Well, it depends on what nation or what tribe.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's good. Tom, one of these nights when you call in, we will have a whole discussion about Alaska history, including indigenous peoples. Fair enough?
Right. But don't you agree? I mean, Mike, the conservative Republicans are calling this a threat to marriage. Don't you think, Mike, that the biggest threat to marriage is divorce?
Yeah, but that's just me.
So if they want to you know, outlaw gay marriage, shouldn't they also outlaw a divorce?
Well, yes.
Because 50% of marriages result in divorce, right?
Well, you're trying to impose logic or overlay logic on the mind or the actions of a conservative or a Republican, and that doesn't work. They are irrational. They are exceedingly ignorant. They are highly bigoted and prejudiced, and they honestly believe that Jesus walked around saying, "Kill the queers." So, in anything that a Republican or a conservative or says, you've got to discount. Don't try to find logic in it or impose logic on it. Just try to fight it. And if you can't ignore it, and there's very little that these thugs do anymore that we can ignore, so we have
two questions. If gay sex, if gay love is so so wrong, why did it not make the top 10 in the Ten Commandments? Number one, and number two, why did Jesus say nothing about it when he walked the earth?
Right. Well, those are two good questions, and the answers are contained within the questions, I think. Tom, thanks for checking in, pal.
You're welcome, Mike.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. That happens when you live in Anchorage. You're welcome, Mike. Have I got time to do this? Yeah. All right. This is from Dave in Tampa. Mike, I was in Dallas on the motorcade route on that terrible day. I was 8 years old and a third grader at Robert E. Lee Elementary School. A friend and I got permission from the principal to leave school to go see Kennedy with my friend's mom, who I'll call Ruth. I was really excited. I'd seen Kennedy on television many times. I'd seen him being inaugurated, and he seemed like a very nice man. And he was our president, which in my 8-year-old mind was kind of like being king. We parked about 30 minutes away from Main Street and walked downtown. Ruth had planned for us to go all the way down to Dealey Plaza, but we found a nice spot right at curbside on Main Street, so we settled there. We had about an hour and a half wait for the motorcade. I was miserably hot. Earlier that morning, I had played the Pied Piper in a school skit complete with green leotards and funky felt vest, shoes, and cap that my mom had stitched together. As it had been raining and was still fairly chilly when we left school, I had donned my Sears and Roebuck blue jeans over the leotards. By the time we reached downtown, it was perfectly sunny and scorchingly hot, and I was sweating. My buddy and I passed the time with improvised boat races, floating discarded matchsticks in the rainwater still flowing down the gutter. Every few minutes, a cop on a motorcycle rode past and barked at us, "Get back on the sidewalk." He seemed really mean. Once he was out of sight, we resumed our matchstick boat races. Finally, a wave of loud applause moved toward us from up Main Street. The applause alerted us that the motorcade was approaching. We were on Kennedy's side of the street. As he rode past, I waved at him and shouted, "Hello, Mr. Kennedy!" He was less than 6 feet away. He turned and looked straight at me, smiled, and waved back. He seemed every bit as nice as I had pictured him. I'll never forget it. As we made our way back to the car, we noticed small clusters of people gathering here and there. In the early 60s, lots of people carried a small transistor radio with them
wherever they went, kind of like Walkmans and cell phones today. In the center of each gathering was someone with a radio reporting the news that Kennedy had been shot. About 40 minutes later, the announcement came that Kennedy was dead. With that, my whole world came apart. Dave, Tampa. Yeah, I know what you mean, Dave. I know what you mean, really, viscerally, gut level. And that whole decade, the killing that occurred in that decade, the killing that was orchestrated by God knows who, where it concerned people like Kennedy and King and Bobby Kennedy, unless you want to believe Sirhan was responsible. Maybe he was. The killing in Indochina, the killing of Americans, the killing of Vietnamese, Cambodians, Laotians, killing, killing, killing. The killing in the Dominican Republic, the killing in South America. All of this ostensibly to stop communism, right? I guess, the killing, the state-sponsored killing, the assassinations, well, they were to stop something. And here we are, 40 years later, and... That's right, we're still killing, and killing, and killing, and killing some more. Well, I don't know, we never get tired of it, do we? We never get tired of sacrificing our children to the killing machine. We never get tired of locking and loading and looking on the screen and getting the coordinates right and sending a 5,000-pound emissary from hell into somebody's neighborhood. It's just killing and killing and killing. Brian is calling from Manchester, New Hampshire. Brian, welcome to the program.
Hi, good evening, Mike. I had a couple of things to say about Jack Kennedy and about the Kennedys, but also about General Curtis LeMay. I have a quote from a book, Make Gentle the Life of This World, The Vision of Robert F. Kennedy by Maxwell Taylor Kennedy. It's about his Stone Age comment. The quote, the advice bomb them back to the Stone Age may show that the speaker is already there himself.
Yeah, really.
But it could, if followed, force all of us to join him, end quote. That's from page 164, Make Gentle the Life of This World. I was just watching, it was a repeat on PBS the other night on the Kennedys. It talked about Joe Kennedy and how he, just before he became ambassador to England, he was the first, I believe he was the first head of the Security Exchange Commission, the first guy that actually did something to clean up Wall Street, which would be something novel to the current administration in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Kennedy did that. He's kind of the only one doing anything like that is Mr. Spitzer in New York right now. But also that they were this documentary went into lavish detail about Joe Kennedy's anti-Semitic views in World War II,
right,
as his ambassador days in Germany. I mean, excuse me, in England, and his defeat, his so-called attitude, and that how he is whiskey bootlegging, a little smuggling of the whiskey to the. To America, even during the time of the early part of the war there. But yet this is the same network that doesn't dare to, there's a so-called liberal network, doesn't dare to say the same thing when there's so much information about the Bush family history and Prescott Bush, the bank of the Nazis, World War II.
Isn't that amazing?
It's so horrible. There is no such thing as a liberal media in this country that to put simply, and it's also just and Joe Kennedy too. I wanted to say that the son that was supposed to be slated to be president, eldest son, Joe Kennedy, was yet another Irish Catholic lad who died defending Britain against the Nazis in World War II, despite Britain's horrible history in respect to Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something I'd like to respect. But that there is so much about the Bushes, you could make a huge documentaries about what the crime.
That's very true. Brian, thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate your call.
Make us whole. One life. Yeah.
began in 3 months. I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get your stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
Doug Stephan's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Apparently, Simple Scotty missed the memo from Bush stating that everybody had to stop trying to link Saddam to 9-1-1.
The most dangerous threat we face in a post-September 11th world is the nexus between outlaw regimes with weapons of mass destruction and terrorists. Saddam Hussein had a history of weapons of mass destruction.
Maybe before you were born, you little jackass! Did Scotty not get the memo? There is no connection between 9/11 and Saddam. It came out of the Bush bastard's own mouth. It's come out of all their mouths. Condi Rice, Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, all of them. Scotty, hello.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Free radio, only with Mike Molloy.
In the air, from those nads, Tiananmen Square. It's coming from a field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder.
24 past the hour. Don't you love Leonard Cohen music? We mentioned this last night, but it bears repeating, and I will post this on my website, MikeMolloy.com, so you can read it yourself when you have time. This is from The Guardian of the UK. Richard Perle told an audience in London the other night that the invasion of Iraq by the United States and Great Britain had been illegal. He just came out and said it. He said, I think in this case, international law stood in the way of doing what he calls the right thing. Now, to see, Richard Perle is not a government official, not now. He heads, or he did head the Defense Policy Board, I believe it was called. He is a war profiteer. He is a killer. He lives on the blood of other human beings. He's a chicken hawk. He's an American Zionist. The list just goes on and on. This guy is really, really sick. This is one of the more vicious of the PNAC crowd, Richard Perle. And the fact that he's Jewish makes the charge that he's a neo-Nazi even stronger. But he is. He defines neo-Nazism. So Perle is in London telling an audience, yeah, of course it was illegal. So? Perle said that, quote, international law would have required us to leave Saddam Hussein alone, end quote. And this would have been, quote, unacceptable, end quote. Perle was speaking at an event organized by the Institute of Contemporary Arts in the Old Vic Theater in London. He has been flapping his mouth loudly for the toppling of Saddam since the end of the 1991 Gulf War. A spokeswoman for the Campaign for Nuclear Disarmament said regarding Bush and his thugs, his killers, she said, quote, they're just not interested in international law, are they? It's only when the law suits them that they want to use it, end quote. Sure. See, this is one of the reasons that the Bush crime family was so insistent that we not sign the agreement establishing the Court of International Justice, or whatever it was called, because people like Richard Perle, Henry Kissinger, Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, Donald Rumsfeld, and George Bush could be brought before these tribunals on war crimes charges, just like Slobodan Milosevic was. Mr. Perle, according to The Guardian, Mr. Perle's remarks bear little resemblance to official justifications for the war. In fact, the British government has never advanced the suggestion that it is entitled to act contrary to international law in relation to Iraq. Well, maybe not, Brits, but your boy Tony Blair went along with it. If George Bush's actions were illegal, so were Tony's. Now, of course, this is not the view put forward by the White House. The argument there has been that the invasion was justified under the UN Charter, which guarantees the right of each state to self-defense. And we were being threatened, weren't we? Weren't we? Weren't we? Oh, we weren't being threatened? Oh, then I guess Iraq was being threatened. War criminals. No, Mike is not just tossing the term around like he says Bush bastard or neo-Nazi or neocon. No, no. These guys are by definition war criminals.
I never voted for Bill Kristol. Tar me and feather me. Take my girl. I never voted for Richard Perle. I don't care what it is, I will step right in it. Before I'd vote for Bill Bennett. They'll take over the world if we let them. They'd like to take over the world, I'm not kidding.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A 34-year-old oil spill still contaminates a Massachusetts marsh, and scientists are trying to find out why. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Dig a few inches into the marsh of West Falmouth, Massachusetts, and it's 1969. The diesel fuel that spilled into the marsh back then is still there, and it hasn't changed much over the course of the past three decades. Many of the old compounds in the marsh are still toxic to people and wildlife. Scientists are trying to find out why they won't go away and what this could mean for cleaning up other oil spills. Chris Reddy is an environmental chemist at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. He used a sensitive new technique to identify petroleum compounds in the marsh, and he found that there's almost no difference between the original diesel fuel and what's in the marsh today. He says he expected to find that these compounds had been broken down by microbes in the soil.
One of the big things right now in science is a term called natural attenuation, which basically means that Mother Nature can clean itself up. And there are some really good examples out there where it's happened. But in this case, at this one location, for some reason, the microbes that usually can eat some of these compounds have stalled.
Reddy says the microbes ate some of the compounds, but he says they have the capability to eat almost all of them. Reddy says it's important to figure out why the microbes stopped breaking down the oil residue at the Massachusetts marsh.
If we can understand what made them stall, and we can somehow add or help the bacteria, then we can help Mother Nature clean this spot up and potentially other locations.
Reddy is the lead author of an article on the West Falmouth spill that appeared last year in the journal Environmental Science and Technology. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Hello, Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, yes, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however, each month. You'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network. Do you believe in truth? Are you tired of right-wing rhetoric? Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Boy, thank God it's Friday, huh? Whoa. We're at 800 Talk Yes. Our Broken Arrow, Oklahoma Bureau Chief is calling in Nelson, who graces us with his presence every once in a while. What, are you looking to borrow some money again?
I wouldn't call you if I were.
Well, boy, you got that right.
Yeah, anyway, I figured I'd better check in because you'll end up bad-mouthing the Bureau Chiefs again. But
yeah, well, Nelson is also one of our moderators at MikeMalloy.com in the message board section. You ought to check it out. I'm telling you, it's a great place to go. But that's not why you called in.
Yeah, I've been having some fun up there. Anyway, got a quick story for you.
Okay.
I lived in Dallas from 1977 through 1980. And, one spring, I remember it was in the spring, my mother came down to visit, and one of her favorite things to do is to go downtown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, big city, walk around, you know, kind of check it out.
Sure.
So I said, let's go down on a Sunday morning, no traffic, free parking, you know, have the place to ourselves. So we went down, walked around, and came out one of the streets, can't remember which, but we ended up in Dealey Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
And, across the street, standing there, and I said, now, do you know where you are? And she says, well, we're in Dallas. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, you see that brick building right there? That used to be the Texas School Book Depository. And she looked at me like so, and then it hit her.
Yeah.
Exactly where she was. And it was, and I'll never forget the look on her face like, man, this is where they shot Kennedy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if you want to get into that too much or whatnot, but it's a case where, you know, it's there, it's real, it happened. And Dallas as a city has been trying to put that behind them.
Yeah, they've tried. I was there in 1970, Nelson, on a trip from Atlanta, actually 71, and specifically and deliberately went to Dealey Plaza and the Grassy Knoll and the overpass there and Texas School Book Depository. It had a real otherworldly feel to it. I couldn't believe that only 7 years had passed since Kennedy had been shot dead, because I felt in those 7 years that I had gone from being kind of a young, unknowing sprout into you know, a twice married man with four children. And the contrast between, you know how we all relate this to ourselves, the contrast in my life to me, just me, nobody else, just me, in those 7 years was astonishing. But I have been there, and it's it just creeped me out completely to think, yeah, this is where he was, his head was blown off.
Yeah, because, you know, for her, it was like, you know, she's seen it on TV 1,000 times,
sure,
being there. It's like, you know, it looks so much bigger on TV, and it's like, you know, it's just, there
that's
it
right.
is.
That's right.
And I was 12 years old at the time, and I can't remember if I was in 7th or 8th grade, but I was, like, you know, not quite in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, the principal came on the PA system and, you know, said the president's been shot, this side and the other. And then the teacher explained to us this did not mean that the Russians weren't going to invade us tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
That it was going to be okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think back, you know, how the world has changed.
It's just, it's mind-boggling, first of all, to think, you know, how time will warp in two ways. When you look back on an event, a seminal event like that, it's like, oh, my God, that was a million years ago. And then on the heels of that, oh, my God, that was just yesterday. And
it was kind of like it reminded me just, you know, history in the sense of that, you know, I grew up in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. and when I was in college, I had to go downtown to buy something. There's a filter for a camera. You had to go downtown to the big camera stores, you know?
Yeah.
So I had a break in class and a couple hours, so I got on a bus, went out, got my thing. And as I'm coming back, I was standing on the corner. I think it was a 2nd and Chestnut, 2nd and Ash. But anyway, there was a church on the corner, the old Friends Church.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the graveyard out front. You know, you see a graveyard, I tend to read the dates on the tombstones. And right in the middle of the graveyard was like a flat gravestone, and it said B. Franklin, printer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Oh,
so it was kind of the same sense that, you know, when you're in a place, there's just a, you know, knowing the history of it, there's, like you said, there's just an otherworldliness about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That really can affect you. And I wish more people would do that, because, you know, a lot of what we see on the news or whatever, it's an abstract. It's over there, it's over here, it's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're there, it's very, very real.
Yeah, and you do connect. And you're absolutely right about how small Dealey Plaza is and the lawn that slopes up to the railroad bridge. When I was there, it was almost claustrophobic. It was so small because it had taken on monolithic proportions. I mean, my God, Jack Kennedy had been assassinated there.
Yeah.
And it was like, I don't know, Mount Olympus. But when you get there, it's just a little intersection, a little street that goes under a bridge, and that's it.
Yep.
Nelson, thanks for checking in, pal.
I got one last thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Real quick.
Hell, make it real slow.
Six weeks ago,
yeah,
the big story was former Ambassador Joseph Wilson and his wife Valerie Plame.
Right, what happened?
And Robert Novak. And the question for tonight is, whatever happened to that story?
Jacko.
Yeah.
Huh? The gloved one.
That's the universal answer for everything today.
It is. Yeah. What happened with what did you call it? Leakgate is what Kathy calls it.
Leak. Yeah.
Yeah, what happened?
I mean, you know, it's a major thing. I mean, like, you know, the CIA operative, so on and so forth. I mean, that's serious business. And now it's like, oh, well, you know, Michael Jackson and you know, whatever else is going on, and Arnold Schwarzenegger, and, you know, the world moved on, and that's it.
Well, this is where O.J. Simpson and George Bush have a lot in common. You know, they're both still looking. In O.J.'s case, he's looking for his wife's killer. And in Bush's case, he's still looking for the person on his staff who leaked the name of Valerie Plame.
Sure.
I don't think either one of them will ever be successful in finding the perpetrator.
Well, thankfully, though, we can rule out they are not in Buckingham Palace. The leaker is not there. GW has checked it out. And you watch. Next week he's going to come back and say the leaker is not in Buckingham Palace.
And O.J. Simpson has checked out all the public golf courses in South Florida.
You never know.
And the killers are not there either.
Anyway, Michael, let you go. Keep the faith.
All right. Thanks, Nelson. And I appreciate the work you do at the website.
Hey, listen, I'll give you a call maybe another 3-4 months. Who knows?
Okay.
Talk to you then.
Take care, sir. Our Broken Arrow bureau chief. I think Nelson is the oldest bureau chief. Now, I don't mean in his terms of his age, but in terms of longevity. I think wasn't he, Kathy, when we first came up with the idea? I think Nelson was the first, if I'm not mistaken, when we were working in Chicago, and we were just trying to legitimize our little liberal radio program, and having worked at CNN, and, you know, those terms, our London bureau chief, our Tokyo bureau chief, our Zurich bureau chief, you know, we decided to have bureau chiefs, and I think Nelson was the first one. And Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, where in the hell is Broken Arrow, Oklahoma? But it's there. It's there. David is calling from Victorville, California. Hey, Vic. Hey, David. Excuse me. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, don't call me Victor from Davidville.
Yeah, I know. I almost did that.
Hey, real quick. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
First of all, I don't know if you got that email I sent you about the letter I wrote to our local newspaper.
I saw it. I haven't written back, but now that you're on the phone, I won't have to. I thought it was written very well, and I thought you made good points.
Well, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Any chance I get to dig at conservatives is always good. But what's more important, a couple of things. Have you been to the New American Century website?
Just want to, because
that is the home of the neocons.
Oh, yeah, that's the home of death and destruction and endless war.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Now, I just wanted to make a couple of points. Point number one is that our involvement in wars such as this, the one that President Bush is waging, Vietnam and all the like, have all increased essentially as the usurpations to the Constitution have increased.
Sure.
That's number one for sure.
Yeah.
As these leaders, Congress and the presidents, usurp their powers within the Constitution, they and George Bush, without a doubt, is the worst offender. The sanctions were of absolutely no help, as you can tell, and sanctions are absolutely no good anywhere. My point would be if democracy is such a vital thing for us to go for, why haven't we attacked China, Cuba, I mean, a whole host of other nations? Do we want to go and pick and choose our battles?
Oh, sure.
Based on democracy alone? Because we're going to get our nose bloodied a lot worse. We couldn't go pick on China if we did this, and the world community would be up in arms if we attacked their beloved Fidel Castro.
There's no oil in Cuba.
Well, that's true.
And the Chinese are 1.4 or 1.5 billion strong, and I don't think there's an American leader
want to take that fight on.
That's right.
My point being here is that if we lived up to our creed, which is our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, we wouldn't have these problems abroad because we would be forced to live within the framework of the Constitution. Now, I understand what the Constitution in terms of its words and different things say, but I believe it to be very direct with respect to what powers presidents and Congress can act. And when you're in the thing I will never, ever get over in my life is that we were in bed with Saddam Hussein all throughout the 80s.
Yep. Yeah.
All throughout the 80s.
Osama bin Laden also from 1979 when the Soviets invaded Afghanistan, we created Osama bin Laden.
Correct.
We armed him.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, through the Mujahideen.
Sure.
The point is that the only way, nobody can get the kind, I hate to be arrogant about this, but nobody can get the kind of liberty we have. And the reason why is because we told Britain years at our founding that we spit in their eye and we said, bring it on, and we beat them. Now, but if the Iraqi people, the Iraqi people remind me of the frog in the pot of water.
That's right.
I mean, they enjoyed, to a certain extent, they would have had to, a tyrannical leader that did that. But now, if you have a leader like that, you can revolt. You can rise up. You can take. We did it.
You can.
It's been done throughout history.
Right. You can, as long as you don't have the world community imposing economic sanctions on you.
Correct.
Because as we've talked about in this program many times, revolution only arises from the middle class. If there's no middle class, there will be no revolution.
Correct. When we turned our back on the Kurds and we turned our backs on the Iraqis in Basra in 1991, when we turned our backs on them and gave them no chance to fight back,
right,
which they may very well have been able to take their own dang country over. But, I mean, what I want to know is simply, I want to ask President Bush, once Iraq is truly free, once you're done, you've killed all the innocent people that you want to kill in the name of liberty and freedom and all the other hollow words you know nothing about. I just want to know, should I move there?
Yeah.
Because will it be more free than the United States of America it was 30 years ago? Or
He makes it sound that way, doesn't he?
Well,
yeah.
It would be an interesting question to ask him, but nobody has the
He'd have you arrested and sent to Guantanamo.
Well, Lord Almighty, you know what? Between the U.S. Patriot Act, which a blind, deaf, and dumb Congress slept on and got shoved right down their nose, I cannot believe Congress.
I know.
A bill such as that they didn't read, that can make the simplest drug user a terrorist now,
yeah,
because they can define crimes against the United States as terrorist acts.
I wonder if Rush Limbaugh will be defined and treated thus as a terrorist.
Oh, well, you know, my big question is how come he hasn't had any property forfeiture yet by the Gestapo? How come the police haven't come by and taken his Palm Beach mansion and things? And you know, why isn't he in jail? Well, I mean, the mandatory minimum sentence for what he did is easily 10 years.
Easily. So, well, let's remember also where Tommy Chong is tonight for selling bongs over the Internet.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a serious question. Now, will Rush Limbaugh want to be able to do his radio show from his prison cell?
Probably. David, we're out of time. Thanks for checking in,
pal. Hey, man. You know what? Thanks for having me on. Appreciate you letting me rant.
Hey, I hope you're going to call again.
I will.
All right, sir. Take care. Joe is calling, our Brookings, Oregon Bureau Chief.
Yeah, I hear Peter Jennings did some show last night about the Kennedy conspiracy theories. Gee, I wonder if it was fair and balanced. Oh, wait, I'm thinking of another network.
You're thinking of somebody else.
Of course it wasn't. Well, you know, talking about fair and balanced, you know, the whole deal with Medicare isn't. And, you know, apparently the it's amazing to me the Democrats in the House of Representatives seem to have gotten up some gonads and fighting it. But they can only do so much because you can't filibuster a bill in the House of Representatives. So, I mean, what the hell is up with Ted Kennedy, who ought to know better, and, you know, I wouldn't expect any better from Tom Daschle. You know, how come the Democrats don't seem to be willing to filibuster?
I don't know, and you know, that's a topic we did not focus on this week, Joe. I think what we'll try to do is hit it on Monday, because you're right. It's a mess what the Republicans are doing to Medicare. And the people in the AARP, my understanding is, are very pissed about what their leadership has done. There's the music. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate you checking in.
Open your eyes, time to wake up. Enough. Open your eyes. Time to wake up. Enough is enough is enough.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
more tissues.
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal.
Anaconda. Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and health. Healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
Andy Dave Rush here, inviting you to listen to Home Improvement USA. Ken Walchek from Chicago's number one hardware store, Clark Devon Hardware, John Sipe from United Marketing Force, Jay Brintlinger from Orban, and, of course, Danny Lipford from today's Homeowner Television Show, take your home improvement questions. Our guests include industry experts from across the country. We've been America's most useful talk show for 10 years, so join us for Home Improvement USA every Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern, and rebroadcast 8 to 10 Eastern right here on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. JB sent me an email here, and I think Joe, our bureau chief out in Oregon, was going to touch on this. The Republicans in the U.S. Senate, the Senate's still in session right now, and they're trying to ramrod this Medicare prescription drug bill through tonight. And again, we didn't talk about it this week. We are remiss in not talking about it, but it is another payoff to one of the crime families that backed George Bush, and that would be Big Pharma. Is that what they call it? The pharmaceutical industry. It's another payoff to the Republicans. And it will literally, this is a first step in destroying Medicare and forcing people who can afford it into private health care plans. Republicans are vile human beings. I don't even know that they're human. Well, I guess they're human. But they are rapacious. They are vile. They're drug addicts, gamblers, child molesters. How many stories have we had on this program in the past 3 years about Republican preachers, Republican politicians, Republican this, Republican that, who have been caught cheating on their wives, molesting children, gambling, doing drugs, lying? It doesn't stop, does it? It just doesn't stop. And yet, again and again and again, when the polls are taken, a huge chunk of the American public says that Bush is a good leader and honest. And how can people still identify themselves as Republicans? That's the question I've been asking myself for 3 years. I don't know how, actually for about 6 years, I don't know how people can identify themselves as Republicans. It is the party of lies, deceit, murder, mayhem, mass killings, war, economic destruction, and payoff to wealthy cartels like oil or steel or drugs or whatever, publishing, broadcasting. Everybody gets a payoff, except folks like you and me. We're stuck with documents like the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution, and with a memory of what this country was set up for and why it was set up the way it was. Seems kind of quaint, doesn't it, sometimes? Program engineered in Detroit tonight by Jay Balecki, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Mark Marshall is our webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. If you haven't been there, check it out. And Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Y'all have a good weekend. I'll see you Monday, I hope. I really hope. Take care. Have a great weekend, Kevin.